welcome everyone to the Fly Guys Podcast. Justin Goodhart alongside, and when I say alongside, I actually mean alongside. Cameron, we're in person. It's the first time in months. It's been since well before your wedding. Dude, this is cool.
This is cool. Very cool. You hear that? You hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Woo! We're working on it. We're working on the soundboard, and it should be back next week, too, even remotely, depending on how things are going. We're switching softwares. We're figuring things out. But for today, we're both physically here, so who gives a shit?
My gracious host, Cameron Klein, as always, allowing me to show up whenever I need to, and it's just like old times. We're in the FGP studios. Oh, my gosh, there's the Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta.
Yes.
There's Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Operation Dynamite. Just a fictional film from Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time.
All I'm going to say is that it looks like George Costanza's driving a car right there. You can't see a little bit of Jason Alexander in that?
With the hat, yeah.
Yeah, with the hat, exactly.
I'll give you that. I'll give you the hat. Yeah, that's true.
Other than that.
That's fair.
But so we got a cool show lined up for you tonight. Cameron and I, we felt like, you know, firstly,
yeah,
the Flyers are a really bad team. And
yes, which John Torella has now, well, he's never hid from the fact, but he's just blatantly addressed it, which is nice. And that's what we've always wanted from him, because we knew this whole thing
was
just
been a goddamn
circus. So we knew for a fact that he was going to come in and say, this team sucks. And he did again last night when they asked, hey, why are there Rangers chants in the Wells Fargo Center? And he said, that's our fault because we suck. I'm paraphrasing, but also kind of not really. So,
well, I mean,
nice.
He's never going to, you know, he's not going to put makeup on a pig.
No,
he's never been one to do that.
He's never been that guy.
And then Anthony Gargano of 97.5 just straight up saying to Comcast, sell the team. So that was kind of interesting to hear.
Yeah.
97.5 actually talk about the Flyers for a little bit. And because this is on the night after the New York Rangers brought them and all of their fans down to the Wells Fargo Center for a nice little win.
And for the majority of Comcast customers, you couldn't watch the game.
That's also true.
So, you know, there's that.
So Comcast not wanting to televise the Flyers, Comcast not doing a good job managing the Flyers, Comcast has no interest in the Flyers. So Comcast, why not just sell the Flyers? It won't happen. Not at least we
no, because they're making revenue. So.
Need a few more seasons.
And we found out that Gritty's going to be on possibly on the next episode of or next season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So that's great. And this, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to shit on Gritty because it's not Gritty's fault. It's not the marketing team's fault.
Actually, makes a lot of sense for the cast of Always Sunny in Philadelphia to get him. Good job by Rob McElhenney.
Oh, it's a good idea. Yeah. It's a great idea for them.
But you know. Speaking of Flyers disappointments, I told Cameron last week I want to do something different. So I told him, come up with a list of 10 teams that you believe in Flyers history were disappointments. And I imagined because here's the thing. The Flyers have had a history of winning, Cameron. Like, they go to the playoffs pretty much every year for history and make deep playoff runs, go to the cup, usually lose the cup, but at least get there quite a bit.
Dude, up until about the last decade.
It's a pretty great history.
It's been
one of hockey's legacy.
You might have
franchises.
2 years in an entire decade that they wouldn't make the playoffs, maybe.
That'd be stretching it.
Yeah.
But so I expected what would happen is we would get about five of the same answers, and then we would condense our lists into those five answers.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
No.
Because Cameron and I, as much as we love to be in sync, and don't get us wrong, we're always in sync about a lot of things.
Well, because you also demand goddamn perfection, apparently, which is what I learned. Like, my most disappointing seasons are not remotely in the same category as yours.
I don't ask for much. I ask for 82-0 every season, and I ask for a cup at the end of every year. I didn't think that was asking for much.
No,
Boston fans are getting it.
Dude, it's ridiculous what's happening there.
They've lost, like, what, two games at most?
Both are overtime, and the regulation ones and their overtime and shootout losses are both in the single digits last time I checked. And their goaltender scored a goal.
Their goaltender scored. They're 47-8-5.
Yeah. Both of them are in single digits.
It's going to be crazy. Insane when they lose in the first round of the Tampa.
They're not making it past the second. There's no.
Like, firstly, God bless the Buffalo Sabres when they make the playoffs.
Dude, the President's Team trophy teams almost never do it.
Nope.
So it's just like, it's probably not going to happen.
Nope.
But I don't know, though, dude. I don't know. Boston's Boston, though, too. So they might, I don't know. I don't give a shit. I'm so goddamn just deflated from the sport of hockey anymore.
It's hard not to be. But we do have a little bit of comedic relief.
Sorry.
Ron Hextall ran the Penguins into the ground.
Yeah, seeing their complaints is it's refreshing. It's deja vu.
It is.
They're all just saying, like, hey, the trade deadline's happening. Why is he not trading anything? Get used to that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's going to stay there for a very, very long time.
Problem is that the Penguins' ownership.
Why did he extend Jeff Carter? Get used to that feeling of old veterans being signed for a long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
those draft picks you've got last year, don't expect to see them for the next 4 years.
Flyers finally making one of those long-time draft picks, a trade member, Isaac Radcliffe, finally gone from the organization. You probably forgot he even existed.
I love that it's for future consideration. It's one of those trades where it's just like, just get the fuck out of here.
It really is.
And then it's just like, hey, guys, whatever you feel like paying for him, just pay. We don't care.
If you happen to be at like a drive-through Taco Bell, we'll just take that.
Dude, it's like Wikipedia when you go on there and they're just like, if you can donate anything.
I would love to know. If there's anyone that actually does donate to Wikipedia.
Somebody does.
Because they try and put that little guilt trip BS with you, right? They're just like, for you to enjoy our content, we require our patrons to be able to donate just a small fraction of their income.
We provide all of the information in the world.
And it's always reliable.
And it's always. Yeah.
That's why every middle school and high school would allow you to cite Wikipedia for all of those assignments.
I still think you can't, depending on how you do it. You just got to do it right. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
So we listed 10. I don't even know how to do this now because we only have two seasons that line up in both of our lists that we both agreed on were disappointing. I had Cameron read his list off to me, and I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God, we have a very different definition of what disappointment is. So I'll tell you, why don't we just address what our ideas of disappointments are. I would like you to go first, and then I'll go, okay?
And then as we're going through the show, I think I'll try to narrow mine down to five, maybe. So then
I'll do the same thing.
I'll do my five, you do your five, and then we'll do the two that we actually got correct.
That's
so
fine.
I guess my idea of the most disappointing season is simply, it's a mixture of both. It's either they were just disappointing to the history of the franchise, right? So we're talking about, I mean, this year is one of them. I wouldn't count it because this year's not technically concluded, so I'm not going to count that. But
and they're 23-28 technically, which is kind of weird.
So this year would fall under that criteria. However, it wouldn't fall under this criteria necessarily because I wasn't expecting this team to be anything.
Yeah.
Right. So it's both that, teams that are just disappointing to the actual face of the franchise, and also it's teams that are disappointing for what their expectations were.
Okay.
You know, if they were expected to be really, really good and then they had a first-round exit, or if they were in one of the top teams in the league and had a first-round exit, that kind of thing. So that's mine.
So my definition, it isn't exactly as far off as you'd think. I do agree that the level of expectations coming into a season versus how they played throughout that season does have a big factor in whether a team is a disappointment or it's a missed opportunity. However, my one little caveat is because of the success of the Flyers organization up until, like, you know, the last decade, to, you know, I think there is something to be said about a team that probably should have gone all the way and didn't. Like, for example, the New England Patriots, 2007 season, they went 16-0.
Yeah.
They did not win the Super Bowl. Yeah, a lot of Patriots fans say that's a missed opportunity. That's a disappointing season.
You don't have Randy Moss and, you know, the greatest wide receiver and the greatest quarterback on the same team. And
probably should have gone and win the Super Bowl. Right. Or, at the very worst, don't score 14 points to a wild card team in the Super Bowl.
Got beat by Eli Manning, for Christ's sake. Jesus. That's got to be tough.
Playoff Eli, baby.
Like, don't get me wrong. We as Philadelphia fans, we gripe about the disappointing points, but it's like that. They never lost a Super Bowl to fucking Eli Manning.
Never did. Never lost a playoff game to Eli Manning.
Right.
So I do think that there is something to be said about teams that were supposed to go all the way, had the expectation of going all the way, and then fell short. I'm already going to condense my list. I'm going to remove a couple teams from my list, and I'm sure you'll appreciate some of these.
I'll try to do the same. Yeah.
The first team that I'm eliminating from my list, the 2003-2004 Philadelphia Flyers, the team that went to the Eastern Conference Final and took the eventual champion in Tampa Bay Lightning to 7 games.
Okay.
I talk about that team a lot on this podcast. I can accept the fact that it might have been disappointing.
I knew that was going to be on your list.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's very disappointing to you personally, which I get.
But the point is that they did lose to the eventual champions, and they did take the eventual champions to 7 games. So it was an older team. The Lightning were a lot younger, a lot quicker, so I can live with that result. The next team I'm going to remove from my list, I'm going to remove the 2000-2001 Philadelphia Flyers off the list.
Okay.
That was the team that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I got to make sure, because from year 1999 to 2002, it can be a little forgetful for some people, like how each team did. The one team you had, the 01-02 Flyers, that's just a great freaking list. That's a great one. But what I would also say is the Flyers going into that series against the Buffalo Sabres were significantly better. They were by far and away the team that should have probably gone on to at least make it to the Eastern Conference Final, if not at least get back to the Stanley Cup Finals, but they didn't, and as a result, you know, they didn't. It was just a bad season. But yeah, I'm willing to remove that one. Fun fact: do you know who the head coach of that Flyers team was?
I don't. Was it, I don't know, Ken Hendrick? I have no idea.
No, it's actually a lot better. The start off is Craig Ramsey. They were 12-12-4 when they fired Ramsey, and then Bill Barber took over.
Oh, right.
That was the short stint of Bill Barber.
Yes. Okay.
So that team I'm removing from my list. And again, we have to get this down to at least five teams. The next team I'm going to remove, I really don't want to have to do it, but I'm going to do it. The 79-1980 Flyers. That was the team that had gone on a 35-game unbeaten streak. A team like that should win the Stanley Cup Finals, in my opinion.
Right.
They did lose to a dynasty in the New York Islanders, and they did take that Islanders team to six games. So it's acceptable to not always win the Stanley Cup. Plus, 1980 was also a year where the Phillies won the World Series, the Eagles got to the Super Bowl, and the Sixers went to the NBA Finals. That's a good year for Philadelphia sports.
It's very
All four
good.
Teams
very good.
Going to the championship. All right, next team to remove. Going to remove the 2011-2012 Philadelphia Flyers. That was the team that beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in round one and got to the New Jersey Devils before falling in an embarrassing five games. That one still hurts. I'm still really bitter about that series because we won game one on Danny Briere's overtime goal. I think they should have won that game. They didn't.
See, my big thing for why that one would not be disappointing is, Chris Pronger go down halfway through the season. Not even. So you lose your captain. You had the emergence of Claude Giroux. They beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were favored to win the cup that year in the first round. Those things all together.
A lot of people do forget that 2012 Penguins team was a favorite to win the cup.
Oh yeah.
As a matter of fact, them losing that series.
That's probably one of their most disappointing seasons.
I would probably have to agree. But you could make the argument that it was really a springboard for what they eventually became. Because losses like that, I think they kind of calmed down as an organization. Crosby kind of learned to not be. He calmed down after that.
Yeah, you could definitely learn that. So you could definitely make that argument.
That leaves me with my five teams. But before we go into my five teams, Cameron, what seasons are you going
to
try and convince?
Okay, I'm trying to get rid of some of them. One I'm definitely going to get rid of is the 69-70 season. It was the only season where the Flyers had less than 20 wins. But that was, I don't remember exactly how many games they played. I can't do the math in my head this quickly.
Let me go.
Actually, yes,
check.
I can. It was 77. So
bad season.
But yeah, 69-70, just because it was kind of the infancy of the Flyers, what they turned into, the Bobby Clark era and that kind of stuff. You're really starting to see the start of that. So it was kind of, like you said, a jumping off point almost. The Flyers pre-1971 were not great.
They didn't post a winning season until 72-73.
Right. So it is what it is. Another one I'm going to be taking off is the 2012-2013.
Lockout shortened year.
Yeah, part of the reason was because they didn't build off the 2012 team, 11-12 team. And for me personally, I took it off because it was the end of the Danny Briere era. That was his last season.
Also, it was the lockout year, so it's kind of harder for a team to mesh, you know.
Yes.
I can understand taking that one
off. That's another reason I'm taking it off. What else? I'm going to take out the 81-82 season. It was the first time in 10 years that the Flyers had lost in the first round. That's one of the reasons I put it on there. The other reason I put it on there, it was the Cooperall season. If you didn't know what that is, you can look it up. You'll be mortified. They decided to wear pants, the city of Philadelphia, for playing hockey for whatever reason. And I think it was Bill Barber, who apparently was quoted as saying that they looked taller. And I just kind of think to myself that like there was a PR person somewhere. And they were like, Bill, we tried talking to Bobby. He's not giving us anything. We just need something about the pants. And he's just like, but the pants suck. I don't care. But they're like, just do this for us. And he's like, okay, we're taller, I guess.
How crazy is it that Bobby Clark was not the captain at that point in Flyers history?
Was he coaching at that point? Was he doing the hybrid coach
captain thing? He might have been. He might have been. He played that year.
I know that.
Had 63 points in his season. He was 32 at that point. Bill Barber was the captain at that point. I got to go back and look why Bobby Clark, because – the coach was Pat Quinn and for a lot of it, and then Bob McCammon at the end. That's a weird one.
Yeah, it is a weird one.
Why strip him of the captaincy? That's weird.
I don't remember. Well, we can figure that out. That's another show.
That's another show for another day, people.
The next one I'll take out is the 06-07 team. They were just god-awful. It was Forsberg's final season. That was one of the reasons why I threw it on there, too. He only played 40 games. It was not a great end to his NHL career.
That was kind of the end of an era of Flyers hockey where the era that I had kind of seen a little bit of.
Yeah.
Then it crashed with a thud at the end of that year.
Yeah.
And then they bring in John Stevens, you know, the mumbling guy. He was such a weird coach. But then that gave way to the era of Flyers hockey that you're more familiar
exactly.
with.
Exactly. That was the jumping off point. So that's why I'm taking it off. Kind of the same criteria of the 69-70 season. It was a jumping off point for what was a pretty solid era in Flyers hockey. Dude, that brings me down to, I guess I would take out the 82-83 season.
Mm-hmm.
I had it on there because they were swept by the Rangers 3-0 in the first round.
That was a bad season. That was a very bad season to be swept out.
Exactly, because it was a great season for them. They were 49-23-8. They were
losing,
great.
Having your season end like that unwrites everything you did in the regular
exactly.
season.
They had a plus 86 goal differential, and the Rangers had a plus 19. But I'm taking it off there because later on in that 1980s decade, there was an even worse one. So, which you and I both have on our list.
Glad we had at least
together.
More. Yes. At least a couple. So why don't we start with at least the couple seasons that we have together,
yeah.
and we will start with that very season,
okay.
the 1985-1986 Philadelphia Flyers. If you want, guys, if you guys want to go to Hockey Reference and follow us along.
I do have some stats here. They were 53-23-4, 110 points. They were first in the East, and also the Prince of Wales division, and they were second in the league behind only the dynasty. Wayne Gretzky led Edmonton Oilers. They had a plus 94 goal differential. And who did they see? The bane of their existence in the 1980s, the goddamn city of New York, whether it was the Islanders or the Rangers, and this time it was the Rangers.
It was for those who can't really, and again, because
who
we
were 36-38-8 at the time with a plus 4 goal differential.
Not
so,
very good.
Yeah.
But the thing was that it's easy for us who are not alive to really not understand it. But you got to understand that the Flyers and the Oilers were on a collision course for each other for the Stanley Cup
yes.
Finals that year.
Yes.
Both teams had played phenomenal hockey. And in case you're wondering, how did the Flyers handle the Edmonton Oilers that year? Well, they actually lost the season. They were 1-1-1 against the Edmonton Oilers. Won a game in Philadelphia 5-3. Lost a close one up in Edmonton 4-3. And then lost an overtime one up in Edmonton 2-1. So those are close games.
Yes.
As you can tell, a lot of hockey fans were excited about the possibility of Philadelphia versus Edmonton. You had the old days of the Broad Street Bullies, and they weren't really the Broad Street Bullies anymore, but you know that was still the rough and tough Philadelphia Flyers, led by none other. If you want, this just gives me a little bit of heartbreak as well when it comes to talking about Flyers stats. Captain was Dave Pullen. He was phenomenal. Pullen was just a great player. They had Pelle Lindbergh on that team, and that was the rising star and goalie that the Flyers were really thinking could be their next great one, the next Bernie Parent to take them to the next step. And as we all know, tragically, that did not happen. Pelle Lindbergh tragically died. So just a whirlwind of emotions for that team. Pelle Lindbergh made it 8 games into that season. He was 6-2 with a 2.88 GAA before his untimely death. And even with that death, the Flyers were galvanized to the point they continued to excel.
Yeah. So for the season to end in the first round to the goddamn New York Rangers was tough. And they had a 4.2 goals per game average going into that series. They only scored 2 goals in 4 of the 5 of those games.
Terrible.
Meanwhile, they allowed 18 goals total in the 5 games they played. And in 3 of those games, they allowed 5 or more goals. So it wasn't just like they lost these tight games. They got their ass kicked.
And this isn't even like the Mark Messier New York Rangers.
No.
No. The leading goal scorer on that Rangers team.
No, Messier was on the goddamn Oilers still at this point.
Oh, yeah. You know, he was. That's right. Yeah. No, but like that's what makes it even worse. That this Rangers team, their top goal scorer had 25 goals in Thomas Sandstrom. Now, to their credit, they did have 6 players with at least 20 goals, which is impressive. That's nothing to kind of sneeze at.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
None of these guys were, like, screaming sauce at you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to the point where they were going to somehow go into Philadelphia against the mighty Philadelphia Flyers and beat them, no less, in 5 games.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
They took the Flyers to task on that. It was an awful, awful way for the season to end. If that happened today... Oh, God, I wouldn't be safe from any roofs, that's for sure.
No, I don't think any players would be either.
Ironically enough, their goalie, or one of their goalies, John Van Beesbrouck, would eventually end up playing for the Philadelphia Flyers. He was the starting goaltender for much of that season. Oh. His numbers, listen to these numbers. You ready for this?
Yeah.
A 3.33 GAA and a save percentage of 88.7. That's the guy that the Flyers lost to in the first round of the playoffs.
That's the 80s for you.
That is 80s goaltending. Stand up and
hockey,
whatever you do, don't drop to the butterfly.
No.
So, agreed. That team belongs 100%. On greatest missed opportunities and biggest disappointments in Flyers history.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's move forward to the other team that's on our list.
Yep.
The 2010-2011 Philadelphia
Flyers.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. I remember.
Now, this team we can talk at a little bit more length about because we watched that team.
Yes. Oh, dude, I remember going to the Golden Dawn the day after they lost to the Bruins in the Game 4, and just Golden Dawn Diner, by the way, for those in Levittown.
I've been there a couple times with a couple friends of mine.
It's fantastic. But I just remember sitting there, being sad, looking up, seeing ESPN, and just going, oh, what the fuck?
They were talking about it?
It wasn't ESPN. It was whatever sports show was on at the time. I don't remember. But, yeah, I do. I just remember that very, very, very vividly.
So,
and I remember also thinking that I could not stand Ryan Miller in the series before. But, anyway.
So that Flyers team, they had just lost the Stanley Cup Finals to the Chicago Blackhawks. It was a hard-fought series where, I mean, that Flyers team will be in our hearts forever.
Yes. They proved to the world they deserve to be there. They proved everybody wrong. It was the most Philadelphia way to handle being in the position they were in. It was, it was awesome.
And they came out in 2010-2011 like a bat out of hell.
They
at one point, this team, people, they were sitting at 31-11-5.
Yeah.
That was the high point of their season. They looked like they were the clear-cut number one in the Eastern Conference. They were beating up on pretty much every team that they were facing.
Yeah.
They had gotten a petty revenge win over the Chicago Blackhawks earlier that season. And then from that point on, post-All-Star break, you could see the slippage beginning to happen. They were 31-11-5. They only finished that season 47-23-12. And I say only, that's the last Flyers team to have 100 points in a season.
Yeah, and they were number one in the Atlantic, too. And
they
were number two in the East.
Number two in the East.
So even though they were slipping, they were still, you know.
Only behind the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
And so they go into that first round matchup with the Bruins, or not with the Bruins, the Sabres. A lot of us are thinking, okay, let's mop the floor with these Buffalo Sabres guys, and let's just move on with our lives. Well, it ended up being a lot harder than you thought. Ryan Miller, as you alluded to, off of his incredible U.S. Olympic performance and was still being hailed as a U.S. hero, decided to turn like a vintage Olympic performance.
Yeah.
Shuts out the Flyers in game one. Flyers
was crazy good.
The Flyers rebounded to win the next two games to take a 2-1 series lead, where they then lose games 4 and 5 to set up a 3-2 series deficit. They're losing by 2 goals in game 6 to Buffalo before finally overcoming that in an overtime win. Who scores the game-winning goal in game 6? Ville Leino.
Yes.
Ville Leino scores in game 6, his last really great goal as a Flyer.
Some would argue his last really great goal ever.
And then they go into that Game 7 and do what they should have done the entire series. They outright dominate the Buffalo Sabres to set up a rematch with the Boston Bruins, a team that they had famously defeated 4-3 in the series the year before. It's famous for a lot of other reasons, but most notably the 3-0 series comeback. Well, clearly Boston didn't forget that.
No.
They were very much aware of what had happened.
There was a bunch of assholes between the Schuylkill and Delaware River going, we've done it before. We'll just do it again.
Game one, disaster. 7-3 loss. You're just like, all right, that's not good. Game two was really the only close game of the series. That's that really tragic overtime loss where the Flyers, if you remember anything about that game, what I won't forget is just thinking, how is it going to be David Krejci that's going to be the one that just tortures the Flyers in the last two playoff series? And that's quite literally what he did. You might also remember the fact that the Flyers blew a 2-0 lead in that game. Who scored our 2 goals in that game? That was
I don't remember.
JVR. JVR had our 2 goals in that game because he got one on the power play, and I'm like, all right, this is where we take the series back from those Boston Bucks. By the way, they're having a great season. Congrats to them.
Again, they are.
Great team.
That's ridiculous.
But unlike another Tuukka Rask might have had his problems with Philadelphia. You know who didn't have his problems with Philadelphia? Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas. That was a great year for him.
He was. He really kind of revitalized his career with that cup win.
Yeah, he crushed it. And that was also the end of the Mike Richards, Jeff Carter era.
It is.
They both were traded that offseason after the season.
It's ushering an even newer era.
Yes, and also it was the first year without Simone Gagné.
Could have used a guy like that.
Could
have really used a guy like
that. Especially when he needed some goal scoring against a team like Boston. But, whatever. We're We're not here to cry about that. That's for another time.
No, I'll cry about that. I'll cry about that right now. That was a great, he was a great player.
Oh, I know. Me too.
So those are the two seasons where the Flyers and I and Cameron all agree. Those were very
The Flyers agree, too. They wrote us, and they said, we don't agree with your list, but those two, yeah, we're pretty disappointed.
You know who would agree with us? The late Ed Snyder. He would definitely agree with us.
Yeah.
Snyder would probably say, every year we didn't win the Cup belongs on this list.
I think if he was around, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now.
You think he would have hired Tortorella?
I think he would have hired Tortorella.
I don't think it would have been as
late. I don't think he would have hired Chuck Fletcher.
No. He would have fired Chuck Fletcher by now, even
if
he had.
Even if he did hire him. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
He liked former players being general managers. Paul Holmgren, Bobby Clark.
Danny B would already be in office. He would already be in office.
Like, Danny, you scored that goal in game six against Boston. You get in there right now.
Danny, we lost Johnny Gaudreau to whatever. And then he'd just do the little fist, the little uppercut.
The uppercut that
And he'd be like, I love you, Danny. Get back in there.
All right. So now there are three seasons where Cameron and I need to fill it. We need to fill. So we're going to we're gonna openly debate a couple of these seasons right now. I'm going to pitch my first one.
Okay.
And then I want you to pitch one against me.
Okay.
1975-1976 Philadelphia Flyers. That was the team. They were off two straight Stanley Cup runs, having won both of them against the Boston Bruins and then later the Buffalo Sabres. They're the hockey dynasty of the world. What a time it would have been. Oh, God, I missed that. I wish I could have been alive for that.
It would have been cool. Yeah, that would have been cool.
Then they also defeated the Russians that summer.
Yes.
So, I mean, everything.
The only team in the NHL to do that.
Only team in the NHL to do
that. Yeah.
So they are just riding a high that cannot be matched. What happens? They go back to the Cup Final, but they're missing someone this time. They're missing franchise legend Bernie Parent.
Right.
And they go up against what would end up becoming a dynasty. There's a lot of themes of the Flyers losing to a team that becomes a dynasty. They lose to the Montreal Canadiens in the Stanley Cup Finals, and that would be the last time that the Flyers would be regarded as a dynasty. They were certainly never that again. The reason why I believe that to be a big missed opportunity is because if they have Bernie Parent, I think we can make a good argument that they probably win that series. They were still the great team of the NHL. They were just missing the second or third greatest goaltender to ever play the game. And I think that does fit the criteria because at the end of the day, no matter how much you say it was a successful season, no matter how much you say you can't, you know, use injury to dilute a team, they would have won if not for that. That's a huge disappointment. It's not on the fault of the players. It's on the fault of the situation. I think it deserves a space in that conversation.
That's fair. I will give you that for the situation, but that's exactly why, to me, it's not disappointing.
Okay.
It's because you lost your franchise goaltender.
So it can't be disappointing because you lost the best player on the team.
I'm not saying it can't be disappointing. I'm just saying it makes it a little less disappointing. If he was playing and they lost, that's pretty goddamn disappointing. But if they lost him, it's just like, okay, well, yeah. The Patriots walk into a Super Bowl and Tom Brady's not playing. It's just like, well, you know, they didn't have Tom. So it's like, yeah, like, that sucks. But it's just like, at the same time, I'm walking into this thing, it's just like, well, you know, all right. But no, I do give you credit for the fact that, again, there was a lot riding on that season. It was a dynasty team. They beat the Russians, pretty much kind of solidifying themselves as the best team in hockey.
In the world.
The only team. Yeah, in the world, quite literally. And they couldn't prove it on a world scale. So, to me, honestly, it's the big argument in favor of you, to me, is more the Russian thing. Because it's just like you proved on a global
scale
that you're the best.
You chased that team off the ice. They didn't even want to come back and play.
Yeah. You can't.
And then you
a couple of Cup Canucks.
You lost to the French Canadiens.
Right.
The French Canadiens.
Jesus Christ.
You couldn't even have the dignity of losing time to, like, Toronto or something like that. You lost.
And
we've covered that Toronto team in the past.
I do hate Montreal, too.
I do.
That's really disappointing at the same time because they're so goddamn annoying.
They are really annoying. Shades of Nick Suzuki patting Carter Hart on the head.
Right. Right. We still beat that bitch-ass team anyway. But but yeah, no, dude, I do get that. I'll give you that one. That one I can't be too angry about. A lot of the ones I was a little bit more upset about on your list.
Don't worry, the next one's going to have you livid.
Okay, but is it my turn? I'll do mine next.
Go ahead, do yours.
All right, I'll save the one that you actually like for a little bit later.
Okay.
I'm wondering between these other two which one I should start with. I'll start with the one that I find a little bit weaker.
Yep.
2020-2021. Mm-hmm. We're coming off of the 2019-2020 season in which the Flyers somehow were putting together, to us, what we thought was fun Flyers hockey for the first time in almost a decade.
Didn't seem that way. It was fun hockey.
It was amazing. It was great. It was exciting to be a Flyers fan again. You got to hear Jake Voracek call out journalists. It was awesome. It was a fun season. You roll into the next one, you're thinking, man, we got it. all the same crew. They're only going to get better.
Elaine Vigneault, baby.
Yeah, the system's really starting to come in together. These guys were just gelling. Imagine what's going to happen when they solidify, when that concrete becomes solid, baby. And it completely fell apart because we could argue COVID. We could argue players were sick or whatever and so on and so forth, and they couldn't never fully recover, which I think all is absolutely true. However, every team was dealing with that, and you can't make that excuse the next season, and the next season seemed to have the same fucking problem. And to me, a lot of what we're dealing with right now, the era of suck that we're currently in, started with that season and after such a goddamn drop-off from the season before, to me, is just ultimately disappointing.
The highlight or the low light of that season for me has to be the Lake Tahoe game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we had players dropping left and right going into that game. We didn't have Couturier, and there was someone else that we were missing. We were missing a couple of big players that game. Mm-hmm. We took a 2-1 lead over Boston, and it looked like, okay, they're gonna find a way. Flyers had a knack of one thing that year, losing some really frustrating games. Which, losing leads and leading to frustrating as all hell losses.
The year before was just...
It was the complete polar opposite.
Exactly.
They would come back in games.
Yeah.
What's our favorite game from that year, the good one, 2019-2020, is the 5-2 win over Washington.
Yeah.
They go down early in that game, but you and I were just like, no worries. We're fine.
Yeah, we were not worried.
Come back, they win that game. The next year...
It had been a decade since that feeling. It had been a decade.
And then
almost a decade.
It was just so frustrating that entire year. The Lake Tahoe game, again, they lose that game, yeah. Like, what was it, like 7-3 or something insane like that.
But I will say that's on my list because of recency bias, though, too. You know, no, we're living in this shit storm that we're in now, and when we think about that, I think about that season
and
as how it
started.
And
if you remember, I mean, this is the part that sucks the most. That Flyers team, the 2020-2021 team, they did start that season off 8-3-2. They were good to start the season. They were winning games. They were beating teams like – they beat the Islanders, the team that had haunted us in that playoff series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good entry. I do think it's a good entry. They were – I had cup ambitions. I thought that team could go all the way.
Me too. Yeah, and again, like you said, they start 8-3-2. That's where the whole COVID thing has some merit, you know?
Remember when they beat the Lightning in that round robin game? That was awesome.
I literally, on my notes, I put coming off a season where they were the first seed in the playoffs, and I had a star little asterisk next to it because it was just like, you know, technically.
Dude.
Technically, they were.
I wish you guys could have all seen the text I was sending Cameron the night they beat the Lightning, because he and I were just like, this is unbelievable. This team is incredible.
Yeah. They were.
As Eric,
I'm not going to apologize
as
for
Eric
that.
Reese puts it. Those were some great preseason playoff games.
They were.
They were awesome.
They really were the best. What a time to be alive. Because, dude, also, like, it was another thing, too, about that playoff series. And I don't want to – we could talk about that season all day. But, like, it was the pandemic sucked. It was the first year of the pandemic. There was no hope at all. And we're in the summer. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. Everything sucks. And then all of a sudden,
boom,
Here's our favorite team doing something we have not seen in 8 years.
Let's also remember the NHL as a whole. Games at 12, 3, 6,
oh,
and 9.
Dude.
It was just hockey all day, every day.
I remember just being up at like 1 in the morning watching the Carolina Hurricanes, Sebastian Aho just cutting through guys.
It was so cool.
It was the best.
So cool. That was the one redeeming quality from the pandemic for me.
Well,
because
it was, we started
back
to kind of come out of it a little bit.
Yeah, it felt,
you know, and you felt that hope. Things were returning to normal, and hockey did such a good job of
no COVID cases in the bubble. At least none that we ever found out about.
No,
they did such a great job of it. You knew it wasn't sustainable. We could never do that again.
No,
never.
No.
The way that they did it the first time, it was the right way to do it.
It was beautiful
to close out a horrible season with a beautiful way to put it. I'll never be able to thank the NHL enough for doing what they did.
And then the next season. Right into the floor.
All right.
Into the basement.
So let's go from a season in which the Flyers accomplished nothing on high expectations to a team that nearly accomplished everything on the highs of expectations. The 1996-1997 Philadelphia Flyers are one of the teams on my list. I have, if you guys haven't listened to me enough, you know that one great Flyers player who I often have a few notches against is Eric Lindros.
I don't blame him for that.
1996-1997 was the greatest season of the Eric Lindros era. They went 45, 24, and 13. They were 103 points, finishing only second in that division, the Atlantic. They dispatched the Pittsburgh Penguins in 5 games. They dispatched the Buffalo Sabres in 5 games. And then they took those New York Rangers to task in a 5-game series. Had
Mark Messier.
Mark Messier's New York Rangers.
He was
Rangers.
On that one. Yeah.
Now he's on the team.
Yeah.
And then they have
Gretzky wasn't there yet, right? No, he was until the to like 2001.
You know what's funny? I thought you were fucking with me for a sec. I just realized he was on that Rangers team. Not on that team.
No, but it was
later,
on the Rangers. Yeah.
Later. He was on the
He was for like a season. Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is kind of weird.
If he wasn't there, he was in L.A. He wasn't winning a cup wherever he was at.
96, 97, I feel like he would have had to have been in L.A.
I think so, too. Yeah.
So they go up against the Detroit Red Wings. Who are the Detroit Red Wings at this time? Well.
Okay. Yep. Another dynasty, dude.
They were. Yeah. They might have been a dynasty in
the
making.
Was that Yzerman? That was Yzerman, right?
Yes. They also had they had Nick Lindstrom as well. But they had not won the Stanley Cup in a little bit. It had been a little bit of time.
Yeah, that's true.
As a matter of fact.
That's where that 25-year streak was just getting started.
Uh-huh. They had lost the previous conference final to a very famous rival that they had in the Colorado Avalanche. You guys don't know, the Colorado Avalanche and Detroit Red Wing rivalry of that era.
Oh, my God.
Like the Patriots-Colts rivalry.
Oh, my God. One of the best rivalries
ever.
In hockey.
Ever.
Yeah, ever.
So,
unbelievable.
Now, that 95-96 Red Wings team had 131 points. Next season? 38, 26, and 18, 94 points. They kind of sneak into the playoffs a little bit. Mm. They did beat the Blues, the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, back when they were called the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and I completely agree with you there. Then they beat the Colorado Avalanche in six games to face off against the much-favored Philadelphia Flyers, the team that were by far and away the better team, and they smoked them. Smoked them in four games.
Yeah.
The reason why this is a disappointing loss is because you lost to a team you were by leaps and bounds better than. You had Rod Brind'Amour, John LeClair, Eric Lindros. You had Eric Desjardins, too, at that point, by the way.
Yeah.
You had Ron Hextall, who was back from his exile.
Yeah.
And Garth Snow was a goalie in there. If you don't know who Garth Snow is, Wikipedia's there for a reason. Donate if you can. You know you like that one.
That was good. That was good.
They had Chris Therrien, who, you know, they had Renberg. Yeah. Renberg was, you know, on the team still at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So they are by far and away the better team. And they lose to Yzerman. I know they had Sergei Fedorov. I know they had Martin LaPointe.
Yeah, but like you said, dude, that was the Legion of Doom.
I know they had Darren McCarty and Larry Murphy.
That was the Legion of Doom Stanley Cup.
That was their cup. Yeah. That was the cup that was going to make Eric Lindros' statue be built 50 stories high in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You didn't even win a game. And in case you're wondering, because I always like to bring this point out. In four games, Eric Lindros had one goal and two assists. That's your greatest Flyer of all time? Cool. Cool. Not top five in my opinion. They also had Dinah Zubrus on that team, which I just find to be funny because Dinah Zubrus played for like 1,000 years.
Yeah. He was definitely top five. But no, I mean, dude. No, I can't. That's a great entry. I'm not even going to argue anything about that. I mean, you could argue that, again, they made it to the Stanley Cup final. That would be my argument. But at the same time, I think everything you just said, I would definitely 100% take a couple of the list of my 10 off in order to put that one on there. 100%. That was the Legion of Doom's Cup. There's no it was a well-built team, well-coached team. And it's like you said, you could say the same thing about the Detroit Red Wings, but who gives a shit? The Flyers are proving it day in, day out, the entire regular season. And when it came to the most important goddamn series, the most important four games you could do, they just fizzled.
I mean, they didn't even win a game in that series.
Yeah, I mean, that is the most disappointing. That is the most disappointing feeling.
If they had taken it 7, I know you'd be sitting here going, dude, there is no way you can give me.
I would argue that, but yeah, you're right. This was the 2007 Patriots.
Yeah,
as you mentioned,
it absolutely was
100%.
Who you got?
Okay, all right. Again, I'm going to save the one that you liked last. This one is really, really personal. Not really, really personal, but it's a little bit more personal for me. For both of us, we both watched this. We all did, but you and I, at this point, were already friends. Like, we were hanging out, you know, kind of into shit.
I know.
2015, 2016.
I was very surprised by this entry from you.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear kind of you talk about this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, when you hear it, I get why you wouldn't have it on your list. I completely understand. But here's my reason. So, they were 41, 27, and 14. They had 96 points.
That's such a better record than what that season felt like.
It 100%. I was shocked when I saw that again. It was Dave Hackstall. So, again, for him to have 41s in the season, that's kind of crazy for us, you know. But they had a first-round exit to the Capitals, if you probably remember. This was the year Steve Mason led in the goal from the red line. It was disappointing to me, right? Yeah, it was tough. It's tough. It's a tough look, man. It's a tough look.
Steve Mason, come on, man.
Stone cold, just frozen in embarrassment, dude. And like what sucked for that for me personally was that I liked Steve Mason, and I had always argued kind of like he's not a terrible goaltender. He's not a bad goaltender.
Very underrated in Philadelphia.
He was. But he's always remembered by that moment, which is, to me, not fair to the guy. So that kind of sucked. That's one of the reasons why. And also, you had the first 30-goal scorer since 2011-2012, which was Scott Hardenault, but it was Wayne Simmonds this season. And Wayne Simmonds was, at that point, one of, if not our favorite players.
That was really like his last truly great year as a player.
Yeah, it was. 31 goals. But that was also the year in which Ed Snyder passed away.
I remember crying when he died.
The patriarch of the Philadelphia Flyers, a patriarch of Philadelphia sports, some people could argue. And the way, to me, what was so disappointing was the way they honored him was to fans, and this isn't the team, I guess, as much, but the team fizzled on his reunion night and fans throwing bracelets onto the ice. To me, being in South Central Pennsylvania, which has an influx of Washington fans, it was tough.
And
it was,
Penguins fans.
Yes. But it was just, to me, it wasn't even that. It wasn't even that they were there to, like, throw stuff in your face. It was the idea of, I'm just embarrassed. It was the first and only time, really, that I've been embarrassed to be a Flyers fan.
That's saying something, considering the kind of stretch we've gone through the
last couple years. I remember I didn't want to go to class the next day.
I do remember after that game taking like my Flyers sweatshirt and just like kind of not throwing it in the closet, you know, literally, but just like putting it like under some clothes and everything. I didn't want to watch.
Dude, like seeing the image of Wayne Simmonds
and
saying,
Ovechkin.
Yeah, saying stop will forever be seared into my brain and I will never be able to take it out. I will never be able to find anything redeeming that came from that series or came from that season because of that moment. So that's why, again, it's more biased.
You know who scored the first goal of that game?
Was it Lawton?
It was Raffle.
Oh, Raffle.
Back when we thought when Raffle could be like a, you know, like a first liner with Giroux and all that.
We did, but we didn't. Dude, even 2013-14, when I remember seeing him with Voracek and Giroux, I'm like, who the fuck
is Michael
is
Raffle?
This dude? Like, and why is he wearing Gagne's number? That's what I wanted to know. Now, granted, I like Michael Raffle. In hindsight, I root for the guy.
Not more than Simone Gagne to wear his number.
Well, no, obviously not. But, you know, I don't hate the guy. It's just, yeah, anyway.
I'd also make the argument, it's even more stupendous that after that game, they fell behind 3-0. Memory cheats you a little bit. They did win games 4 and 5 up a game 6 and a very close game 6.
Yeah, they made it a series. They did make it a series.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I didn't have full-blown visions of 2010 in my head, but I'm like, if they win this game 6, I don't know. Like, you never know. They didn't, obviously.
That's just a typical Justin mindset. Yeah.
Dude, in my mind, we can still come back in the Super Bowl. We can still win the game.
Well, yeah, I get that.
But even though it's been over for a few weeks, I still think we have enough time to maybe come back. Give us one more drive, maybe.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want to open up all wounds, but I do remember you talking about how Jonathan Gannon was forgiven a couple weeks before the Super Bowl. And
this is totally off topic. We're not going to spend any time talking about this.
CJ Gardner-Johnson? What? CJ Gardner-Johnson?
Better.
He's my favorite player.
Well, he's awesome. Re-sign him! In the press conference with Gannon being asked about the Super Bowl at the Combine,
yeah.
He mentions Howie Rosen by name. He mentions Jeffrey Lurie by name. And then he says, and the head coaching position, referring to Nick Sirianni. Why not mention Nick by name?
Oh.
What's up with that there, buddy boy?
That's interesting.
You know what that tells me? They had a falling out after that game.
That's interesting.
They had a falling out big time after that.
Yeah.
Nick, it makes me, honestly, not more mad at Nick, but more inquisitive. Like, so you clearly didn't believe in him. There's some falling out that happened between those two. Why didn't you go for it on that four? All right, whatever. Not whatever. We got
to
move on.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good thing to be angry about. That's a good point. Yeah, I feel that. I feel that.
My last team.
Okay.
The 1999-2000 Philadelphia Flyers.
Okay.
That team was.
This is a good one, too. That was a good one, too.
Now, a lot of people might forget because I kind of forgot, and I had to make sure I wasn't, like, incorrect about this. Eric Lindros was on that team.
Yeah.
I totally forgot Eric Lindros was on that team. Up until
Was that the Chelios hit year? I can't remember what year that was.
No, but it was the oh my god! Now I'm
was it the lung fiasco year?
No. Hold on. Give me a second. I'm gonna figure it out.
I'm just gonna keep messing.
Scott Stevens year.
Scott Stevens. That's who I'm thinking of. Oh my god!
So I forgot.
I said Chelios. Stevens.
When I was looking through the seasons and everything and where they finished initially, I settled on 99,000. I'm like, wow, they had 105 points. Head coach was, Roger Nielsen, pretty good coach. Why didn't they do well? Yeah. And then I saw what series was. I'm like, Eric Lindros gets hit by Scott Stevens. And again, this is maybe an injury argument you're going to make, but Cameron, they cruise over the Buffalo Sabres in round one. They cruise over the Pittsburgh Penguins in round two after a bit of an early scare. That's the famous five overtime series,
right.
with Keith Primo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have a 3-1 series lead over the New Jersey Devils. They had won games 2, 3, and 4, and it looked like everything was going to be hunky-dory. And it won because Eric Lindros got crushed. He got injured.
Yeah.
And it was over from there. Now, you might say, Justin, they lost. They literally lost an arguable top five player in Flyers history. He's like top eight or whatever, but that's fine. Why are you saying that season? Because when you're up 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Final and the Dallas Stars are awaiting their opponent in the Stanley Cup Final, a team that you're probably going to beat because the Dallas Stars were – that was a year where – think about it. That's a year where the Avalanche and Red Wings aren't in the Cup Final, so
yeah.
It's open for you to be there
yeah.
and to do
yeah.
it.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear you.
You couldn't finish off a 3-1 series. You just got to win one out of your next three games. Just
yeah.
win one of them.
Yeah.
You won 45. And then to lose the way they did. 4-1 in game five. Okay, that's fine. You know what? You'll close it out. You know, in New Jersey in game six, lose 2-1. Okay, it's a little frustrating to lose 2-1 in game seven. Come on!
Yeah.
Come on in that series. And that game is forever marked as like, oh, God, they tie the game in the second period and then Patrick motherfucking Eliash.
Yeah.
Fun fact. I always thought that the New Jersey Devils had one of the more collective, like, fun-sounding names, like Patrick Eliash.
Yeah.
And they also had Jason Arnott, Scott Stevens, fuck you. And they also had a guy you might have heard of him, Scott Niedermeyer. He's nothing.
Yeah.
Scott Gomez was on that team too, fun fact.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, I mean, he was in the league forever.
He was on every team at some point. Yeah.
Except the Flyers.
Except for the Flyers.
But, like, come on, man. Like, you can't be up 3-1 in a conference final and lose.
No, I get that.
Especially to your... And at that time, that was the biggest rival the Flyers had.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The late 90s, early 2000s, it was the Devils.
Devils, Rangers, and Flyers. It was those teams always duking it out. And the Penguins would occasionally get in there, and they would win a random cup here and there because Mario Lemieux.
Right. Who's not the best hockey player about them?
He's not. He's better than Eric Lindros.
Yes. Oh, 100%. No, he is, though. He is. Dude, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to name this episode. Well, can you edit?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's fine.
You should name this episode the Justin Hates Eric Lindros episode.
Yeah, we could do that. But yeah, no, dude, I have nothing. I don't have any issue with that being on the list because, like you said, 3-1 series lead. That sucks. And I would even argue losing Eric Lindros is an argument for why it's disappointing. You lose your captain.
Then why is losing Bernie Perron a factor against me?
Well, because, you know, they're playing against Montreal. They're not playing against the Dallas Stars, and they're already in the Stanley Cup Final.
He just showed me he has two aces on his deck.
I'm good, dude. I'm
going
to tell you.
Going all in.
Yeah, so I hear you. I hear that.
Jason Arnott scored those two goals. Or, I'm sorry, Patrick Elias scored those two goals in Game 7. Jason Arnott had both primary assists. I just thought I'd mention that because fuck my life.
Yeah.
John LeClair had an assist. Yahoo, who cares? Lost. All right, go to the one. This is a great entry for you.
Yeah, the reason why I say this one last is because when we went over our list initially, you were just like, oh, I like that one. I would put that one on my list. So the next season, 2001-2002.
Two seasons later.
Sorry. 42-27-10-3 because they were, you know, registering shootout losses and overtime losses differently at that point.
There was no shootout. There were ties.
Ties, whatever the fuck. Jesus, who gives a shit?
I think they should go back to.
97 points. They lost in the first round to the 7-seed Senators. 4-1 series. I mean, Jesus. The Flyers averaged 3 goals a game during the regular season. They only scored 2 goals that entire series. And it was the fourth time in the last 5 seasons in which they were beaten in the first round. So it started becoming a normal trend. Or maybe the next four seasons, I don't remember. Point is that you can't just score 2 goals in an entire goddamn series when you're in the number 2 seed. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's asinine.
It's worth mentioning, this was a Flyers era of hockey. You may not know this. The Flyers had a goalie named Roman Čechmánek.
Yes.
Who was so good
in the
regular season.
Yeah. And playoffs, then just fizzled. Yeah.
But this was not one of those series, though, dude. In the playoff series, Čechmánek actually had a .936 save percentage. You lost with your goalie, and Brian Boucher got in a couple of those games as well. and he had a 9.39 save percentage. Your goalies had over 93% of their shots saved, yeah. And you couldn't win that series.
Dude, you don't have to score much when the other team only scores two goals in five games.
It's really
it's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
This is a phenomenal, and what I mean is, I mean a phenomenal entry to the list. It's such a forgotten season because of how quick it was there and it was gone.
Yeah.
And no one remembers it.
Yeah.
Except for harbingers of terror like you and I. I had almost completely pushed that season out of my head, too, because I was just like, okay, that was a season, you know, oh, well, can you be mad? They had Daniel Alfredson. They had Marian Hossa. That guy was also around forever, Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
The goalie for the Senators, Patrick Laline, his save percentage was .985. 98.5% of the shots that he saw, he saved. That's a team against, yeah. I don't know, Ruslan Fedotenko.
Yep.
You know, he was on that
he
team.
He scored one of the goals.
He scored an overtime goal, I believe.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
They had Eric
It was 0-0 that game, and they scored the one goal.
Like, Jeremy Roenick, you put up donuts?
Yeah.
Jeremy Roenick put up donuts?
Yeah.
Adam Oates was on the team. Don't know why Adam Oates was on the team, but he was on the team.
I saw that, too, and I didn't know that.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Adam Oates was a Flyer, in case you guys didn't
yes.
know that.
Yes, he was.
Mark Recchi put up donuts. Keith Primeau put up donuts. There were only two guys that scored goals, as he said, Ruslan Fedotenko, and if you could guess the second one, I would give
no one would.
No one ever would, because you've never heard of him.
Yeah.
I only knew him from NHL 2003 when I saw him. I'd be like, oh, he's on the – oh, yeah, the guy that's on the third line for the Flyers always. Dan McGillis, a defenseman, a third-line defenseman for the Flyers, yeah. Dan McGillis.
Yeah, he scored 50% of your goals that series.
Yeah, you deserve to lose
that's
at that
ridiculous,
point.
Dude.
Also,
it's ridiculous.
And he had 8 penalty minutes to boot, so just for good measure.
Nice.
So,
yeah, like you said, dude, like Roenick, dude, like Recchi.
Simone Gagné.
Primo Gagné. Like, these are all, when you talk to Flyer Band fans right now, they're just like, oh, those guys were legends. Those guys were all-time greats. They were this. And it's just like this one series, it's like, bro.
They were not.
Your goaltenders are putting up almost a 9-4. You can't put a couple in the bread basket?
You know what's really weird about this series, too, is that it was back in the format. It was like the first year of the like 7-game series format for like first rounds.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. It was like one of the first years.
Yeah,
it might not
I wouldn't hate five. I wouldn't really care. It wouldn't kill me.
I understand why they moved away from the five, but I kind of like the five a little bit.
I don't hate it.
For the first round.
Yeah, exactly.
You should like be able to weed out the teams that you don't want to see win, weed them out quick.
A little bit, yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered in this case.
No, it would not have. That's true.
The Ottawa Senators were 39-27-7 that year, by the way. Just not better.
I do think, I will say, though, I think of the ones we have on here, I think you and I, the one that is the most disappointing is probably 85-86.
I would agree.
I think you and I both had it on our list.
They had 50-plus wins that year.
Like you said, dude, they're on a collision course with
Edmonton.
The dynasty Edmonton Oilers.
Now, they did eventually face that Oilers team the next
season.
87,
yeah.
86-87, and that was a great series. It went 7 games.
It was one of the only times where the losing team, where there was two playoff Stanley Cup Final MVPs, one on the winning team, one on the losing
yep.
team, being Ron Hextall.
And that was the thing, because there's so much was born from that series. The legend of Ron Hextall
yes.
coming out 40 feet out of his net to stop a Wayne Gretzky shot, which is like, what are you doing, dude? And he stopped it.
Because he's insane.
And Wayne Gretzky says to him, who are you? And Ron Hextall looks at Wayne Gretzky. You don't even know the guy.
Yeah.
Looks at him and says, who the hell are you?
such a Ron Hextall
that's
answer.
That's like... You know what that's like?
I wish he was never our GM.
That's like Harold Ballard saying, what the hell kind of a position does a queen play anyway?
Yeah, I agree with
that's
you.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
I wish he wasn't our GM either. It would make his legacy in Philadelphia taste
it
a little
would,
bit
It would, man.
Sweeter.
It completely tainted
he
his legacy.
He is redeeming
here.
Himself, though, by doing a stand-up job for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, he's a mole. For sure.
Like Chip Kelly was a mole for the Eagles, so
yes.
too is Ron Hextall.
He's 100% a mole, man. No doubt.
This was fun, you know, to talk about disappointment.
This was cool. Yeah.
Like this.
Because, dude, if you're not going to cry, you got
to
laugh.
You
got to do one of them. You got to do one of them.
I'll tell you what, though. While the 85-86 one would be the most searing.
Yeah.
0-2 against Ottawa was really bad.
Yeah.
That's really, really
bad. That's a tough
bad.
One. That's a tough one. 10-11 sucks, too. That's another really good one.
We got one taste of, like, playoff glory by beating the Sabres. Albeit,
man, it was a great series.
It just wasn't as fun for Flyers fans because you kind of thought they'd mark
exactly,
that one.
Exactly.
It's kind of like looking back on it, like, did you have fun watching them beat the Canadiens a couple years ago?
No.
It
was stressful. I was stressed out.
Because the team wasn't playing even close to what they should have been playing.
Like, again, watching Suzuki Carter Hart in the head, and it's just like, dude, you're so much better than this goddamn team, and you're just going to let this guy do that?
And then when we beat them, and then there was patting on the head at the end.
Yeah, and then, yeah, they all started shoving. Yeah, right. It's fun. It's fun.
You know what? You know what's really sad? Whenever I think about that 2019-2020 Flyer season, the other game I think about is Ivan Provorov's
double OT goal.
And
yeah.
Ivan Provorov might not be a Flyer, you know, in a couple days. We haven't really
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Between him, Kevin Hayes, Van Riems, I'm 100% expecting Van Riems like to be gone.
And that'll be the last time Van Riems like ever is being a Flyers uniform. He'll be remembered more as a Flyer than anything else.
Which I'm glad about, but it's a shame because it's just like, to me, it's just like you should have traded him in the first place.
Well, they shouldn't have traded him, but also when they brought him back, you kind of thought they were bringing him back into a situation where he was going to be able to put up numbers for what was supposed to be a really great team. Like the signing of Kevin Hayes at the time, I thought it made a lot of sense.
Who's having one of his best years?
Yeah,
Kevin Hayes.
You're not
silently,
wrong.
You know.
Same with Travis Konechny.
Yeah,
and I think Konechny's good trade bait. I just want to also say this while I
can. Him getting injured sucks for that, though, too.
It's kind of hard to trade an injured player. Typically doesn't go too well.
No.
I just also like to say this. I can't see any more posts about Scott Laudon being the captain. He probably should be the captain. I can understand if he probably should.
I love the guy.
I love him, too. I just can't see any more posts about it because guess what? He's going to be the captain next year. Why do you care about a captain being
this season?
Named?
Yeah.
Why do you care?
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
Like, there's only one thing you should care about. Can they lose enough games to somehow fall into the number one draft slot?
Yes. The only thing that matters now is just like, okay, how are they going to rebuild this shit?
Because
that's the only thing you should be thinking about. You should not be thinking about who's going to lead the Flyers.
Start praying every
leading
night.
They're leading a boat full of shit.
Start praying every night that they get the number one draft pick. Start praying that the NHL is like, we need that team to become good again.
I mean, dude, we got screwed out of the lottery plenty of times.
Yeah. Give us one. Just give us a Connor Bedard.
You gave Edmonton 15 of them.
You did. They needed Edmonton to get good.
And they sucked. And they blew it every time except for once. But it's just like, well, yeah, because you got Jesus Christ on skates. You're not going to not get him.
He's so good.
It's ridiculous. Are you seeing what he's doing this year?
He's the greatest player.
He's an asshole.
Is he the greatest player in NHL history already? No, not yet. But, I mean, he's –
Dude, he's –
Is his peak better than Crosby's?
Yeah, this is his peak. It's getting up there, dude.
It's getting really like, fucking close.
Because the idea was always like, you know, no one's ever going to be as good as Gretzky. And like all of the sudden with Connor McDavid, you're just kind of like,
here comes an Edmonton Oiler.
Right. Like, two numbers less for
he's
whatever.
He's got 118 points in 62 games.
Dude, he's got 52 goals in 66 assists. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's insane. And the thing is, like, when Gretzky was doing it, it wasn't insane for players to have 100-point seasons. It wasn't insane. It was crazy good, but it wasn't insane. Right now, this is insane.
His career, he's already got 815 points in 8 years. He's averaging 100 points a year.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like a young go-hard here, but I'm going to sound like a young go-hard, okay? Watch Gretzky's highlights. Watch Connor McDavid.
They're very different. They're
very different.
Very different.
Stark contrast.
One guy was in the right place at the right time at all times. The other guy creates the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Out of nothing.
Out of nothing.
Against the greatest defenders in the league consistently.
This is like talking about like how Michael Jordan played against plumbers. I think Connor McDavid is the greatest talent to ever waltz on an ice.
I would agree with that.
On an ice rink.
Because, dude, it's ridiculous what he's doing.
Ovechkin will be the greatest pure shooter of our time, I think.
Yeah.
Like, just in terms of most powerful. I know. It's going to get a little weird at the end of the year.
McDavid's he's coming.
Crosby was the greatest, like, just all-around player I watched growing up.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy, and now he's starting to play a little bit of defense, too.
Mm-hmm. Last year, he really rustled my jimmies. When he told Evander Kane to act like he's been here before. When Kane was like talking shit after scoring a goal or something, and he was just like, act like you've been here before, dude. And it's like, dude, this kid is 23 years old. He's telling this guy who's got 18,000 domestic violence issues
to be
a goddamn man.
I'll end the show with this. If he ever leaves Edmonton, which I can't foresee happening, but if he ever did, Edmonton's economy would go into a depression. Because he is the face of Edmonton.
Dude, if they blew not one, but two of the greatest hockey players of all time.
Fold. Sell the franchise.
Right. Burn the city down.
Move the franchise
somewhere else. Burn the city down. Take the city, move it somewhere else.
Give the team back, make the Hartford Whalers a thing again.
Yeah. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it.
For the Fly Guys podcast, this has been Justin Goodhart alongside in person. It is a beautiful thing to be able to say this.
I do, before you go too far, I do got to say real just quick shout out. Yep. I found out somebody's been listening to the show. I didn't know this before. Okay, and I got to say a shout out to my grandmother.
Oh, my God.
I did not know she listened. Grandma, thank you so much for listening.
Sorry for all the cursing.
I do. I will try to refrain myself, but I'm also not going to censor myself. Okay, and I know you love me for me, so this is me. Just want to say hi. Hope everything's going great in Florida, and I love you, and I can't wait to see you again.
That's it. I let's end with that. That's it for the Fly Guys podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Fly Guys Podcast, at Goodhart Justin, at Cameron Klein 15. Is this your grandma on your mom's side or your father's side?
Mom's side, yeah.
What's your mom's maiden name?
Lippincott.
Grandma Lippincott.
Grandma Lippincott.
So
love you.